It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I love that to hear that we have the precious Word of God to study and to enjoy. And I'm glad that you're with us today to do that. If you would please open your Bible to John chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 24 down through verse 29 today. So please, you'd open your Bibles up and look those verses of Scripture up. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, please, the same address, Parkview Bible Church, and the street address is 18th and Church Street. Box number would be Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Now, if you'd please join me as we read the Word of God, John chapter 5, verses 24 through 29. John chapter 5, 24 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word, believes on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now please, if you would join me in prayer before we begin today with the study. Father, I thank you that we can come. It's just a joyful time, and I love to proclaim the Word of God. I love to study your Word. I love the Holy Spirit to touch my heart and change my heart and use me, Father, please, that you would continue to allow your Word to go forth. I thank you and praise you for this opportunity. For those that are listening, I ask that you will bless them with your Word. Bless them that they'll know your will and that they'll do your will, whatever it may be, all the way from salvation, from being saved, all the way from to that to be surrendered in service to you. Please, Lord, that your work and your will be done today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We spent most of the time looking at some words, some precious words, last time we were together. And in verse 24 and 25, and I would just reread that, and then we'll begin again with the next verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word. Now, as I said last time, I want you to listen. I want you to very carefully listen. And as the words verily, verily means to listen, carefully, carefully listen. And so those words should be applied to all the time as we are studying the Word of God. But here is some very special attention should be paid, and we are to listen not only just generally, but we're to listen very intently, very carefully, so that we hear every part and every word that the Lord Jesus is telling us here. And so, verily, verily, I say to you, Jesus is saying this, listen, listen, he that hears my word. We talked about last time some very important teachings that Jesus has just instructed these people with, told these people about, was that he's very carefully that he is God. He is. They had a problem with him being equal to God. Well, he is God, and he is telling them this. He's also telling them that he is has the power to raise the dead. He also is telling them that he is the judge. There's some very clear things that he is telling them. And then he continues after he has stated this. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Not temporary life, not part-time life, not that you'll have life for a moment and then if you do something wrong you'll lose it. Once you come to Jesus by faith and you're saved, you're eternally saved, forever saved. Praise the Lord. We just love walking with Him and serving Him and the promises and the comfort that He should be giving each believer. And many times we don't know these comforts and these blessings because we do not know the Word of God. Please study it along with me. Study it at home yourselves alone that you will know the Word of God. I hope your preacher preaches the truth so carefully because that's where the power and the strength will be found. Everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. We will not have to face judgment. We will not have to face condemnation because we are saved, protected, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We are passed from death unto life. Oh, that you and I can find that, can be passed from death unto life, and it's very easily found. But not by a multitude of ways. There's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus. You'll find Him at the cross. Please come to the cross of Calvary today and trust in Him. Verse 25 continues then, verily, verily, once again He has special attention brought to this part. I'm going to tell you something again, He's saying. Listen, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I read back in John chapter 11 concerning the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. Well, that was a physical resurrection, but also there is a great need for a spiritual resurrection. There are going to be two resurrections. There is going to be the resurrection of the saved. There's going to be a resurrection of the lost or the dead. And so we could say the same with the first resurrection. It's going to be the resurrection of the living. And I'm not saying about just those that are breathing, but I'm saying real life, because only those that come to Jesus by faith, trust in Him as your Savior. You know without a question because He has convicted your heart, and you have come to Him with a repentant heart, turning from your wicked ways unto the Lord Jesus. He is your Savior. He's your Messiah. And you know that down deep in your heart. You've trusted Him. You know that you need Him. Those that have taken care of that, have met the Lord Jesus at the cross because that's where He offered His life for yours. He has taken all of your sin. Each one of us, the wages of sin is death. And so the only way to pay the price of our sin is to die. And so Jesus knew that. And so He knew in order to pay the debt, one must die. A sacrifice must die. An offering must be made. And that offering can only be placed in the price, the cost of a life. And so Jesus took care of that. He took all your sin, laid it upon His shoulders, and He took on the cross, placed on the cross. He was crucified, His blood was shed, and He died. Upon the death of the Lord Jesus, there was many things. We had to have a perfect sacrifice. As you study back through the Old Testament, you'll find that there were many, it had to be God's plan. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. There had to be an innocent sacrifice. There had to be the shedding of blood. The sacrifice must die. All those things were requirements all the way down through the Old Testament. Now, if you've never studied the Old Testament, you miss an awful lot because, you see, when you come to the New Testament now, to this time when the Lord Jesus was living here upon the earth and He offered Himself upon the cross for you and for me, you wouldn't really understand all the requirements. Because, you see, God never changes. And so when we had the offering of the animals, of the sacrifices, they were a picture of what was to come, but it was a perfect picture. The only thing was missing was the sacrifice Himself. And that time was already set and has come to pass some 2,000 years ago, that Jesus would live, be born, live, and die. and fulfill every part of it. And he did. And then, of course, we know 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And if he had not risen from the dead, there would be no life. So it's all a beautiful picture. The blood, the resurrection, and the life, the death, birth, everything was complete to bring us salvation. And it was all the Father's plan and carried out by the Son, which is God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I have heard the voice of God, and again I said this last time, I did not hear the voice speak to me. But through the Holy Spirit, my heart was convicted, because I was reading the Word of God. Not that somebody was reading another book to me, and all of a sudden I realized how awful of a sinner I was. Not at all. It was done by the Word of God, and that's the reason that we proclaim the Word of God and nothing but the Word of God, and we stand upon the truth. We do not leave the truth. We can't. We can never. It's too costly to leave the truth, because if you leave the truth, then you leave the strength and the power of God that convicts the hearts, that brings them to this saving knowledge to have life, as it says here. Those that hear shall live. Those that hear shall live. Now, I want you to hear. I want you to listen so closely, so carefully. We have both of them in verse 24 and 25. Now, this is just review, and I know I need to move on. But I don't want you to miss that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word. Okay, listen. Listen. He that hears my word, the words that he is God, the words that he is the resurrection, the words that he is the judge, the words that tell us in verse John chapter 3, you must be born again, he tells Nicodemus. Are you listening to the word? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. Jesus come to this earth to seek and to save those that are lost. He said, the hour is coming, but now it is. And that hour is still here. That hour of him bringing the truth, his saving grace, the death, burial, and resurrection of himself, of the Lord Jesus, bringing that opportunity to you. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear. You are dead in your trespasses and sin. You need to hear the Savior. He's calling you today. Please come to him, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And so it's all up to you now. See, a lot of people think that there is no personal relationship, no decision that needs to be made. If I come to church, if I live the life I should live, then I'm going to be fine. That's a mistake, and that's not true. You need to come by faith to Jesus. You need to recognize that you're lost. You need to hear what he's saying. Very carefully listen and hear. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, even so he gives to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus is life. He's our resurrection and life. Please, that we would slip back very quickly again to John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, what a call that he gives to the lost. Please come to the Lord Jesus today and be saved. We have the opportunity to trust in the Lord Jesus. He hands us life when we do. So as you hear me again over and over again say that you're not alive. You're dead. Oh, you get up and you talk and you speak and you do this and you do that, but there is no life in you. You have been a dead corpse all your life. And it's so sad that there's no life in you. Please, will you come to Jesus today and be saved? Trust in him today. The scripture continues here in verse 27. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Judgment. You see, the Lord Jesus has every right to be, not only has come with all the love that the Father has and has offered his life for us, has come down, left glory and left heaven and come down here and paid the price, that great love that he has for us, that great opportunity that he has given us because of that love, and that is just to come by faith, to hear. Now, how costly is that for you? How much is that asking of you just to hear? You're listening, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. You're listening to the devil. You know, I tell folks that's one thing that's changed when I was saved. Because when I came to the Lord Jesus, recognized that I was a sinner and I was lost, and I come to him and repented of my sin and turned unto the Lord Jesus, and he saved me. And I praise him. I have walked and continue to walk closer to him each day. And I love the fellowship with him. But there's one thing that many things happened in my life very quickly. But one thing that happened, before I was saved, I always needed noise. I always needed the radio. I always had to have music on or somebody talking, but I always had to have that. But you know, it wasn't long after I was saved that I didn't want that anymore. I turned that radio off because I want to spend that time with the Lord. And I drive many, many miles in a year's time. Spend a lot of time in the truck, most of the time by myself. And as I'm traveling, it gives me a wonderful opportunity to visit and fellowship with the Lord. When I'm working, I still enjoy that fellowship with the Lord. You know, I'm working on a piece of equipment and maybe it's in a place of business and that old music's just a blaring. I can't think. I can't fellowship. I'm not having the sweet opportunity to praise the Lord that I am when it's quiet. Now, I don't believe that that's just something that's with me, getting rid of the music. I believe that that's something that should exist in every Christian's life. That when you're saved, get rid of that music. Oh, there's beautiful hymns to sing, times of worship. I'm many times humming a hymn or something like that. But it's quiet, my friend. Now, I do love to listen to some sweet Christian music. The old hymns, and I'm talking about the old hymns. I throw out that Christian rock. You think that's bringing your children to Jesus, that's driving your children to the devil. And I'm not going to mention any words about it. I want you to know that. If you're allowing your children to listen to Christian rock music, and you think that's helping them grow as a Christian, I hope that you're smart enough to know that any music that they listen to today is harmful to them. But people have been sold out to the devil here. The old devil's made a contract with these Christian rock singers, and he's promoting them, and he's bringing that right into the church, right into the Christian's home, right into that young person's ear. And don't you think he's not listening to that? We've been talking about here in verse 24 and 25, verily, verily, listen, listen. Well, it's going to have to be quiet before you can hear. And if you're truly saved and you're growing in the Word of God, you're going to want it quiet. So if you've got to have music all the time, if you've got to have noise all the time, you've got to have that racket all the time, you better check your heart. I'm not going to say that you're lost, but I'm going to say that you're backslidden. You wonder why you can't have victory over this or victory over that? You're listening to that junk. You're filling your mind and filling your head with that junk all the time. And young person, if your parents won't do it, I'm asking you to. Get away from that rock music. Get rid of that stuff. Christian or otherwise, get rid of it. Start spending some time quiet. You'll realize for a while, it's going to be tough. I can't stand it. You just give it just a little bit of time, the Lord will bless you. Lord, direct you. And I apologize for these Christian leaders. These you go to Christian camp and come back listening to that junk. You go to a church group and you listen to that junk. Maybe the church leader, maybe the preacher even allows it. I'm sorry. There'll be a day that they'll stand and they'll have to answer for that. Because God hates it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. He has the power. Verse 27, he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, we have a few things here that I'd like to take a minute to look at, and it's going to be more than a minute. We have looked at the, we have talked about and looked at not only the first resurrection, the second resurrection, but also the first judgment, one judgment and another judgment. We're going to take a few minutes, and I know that today we probably are not going to have time to look at them completely, but we will begin, because we have here, he that hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, as we started talking about the music and talking about all those things, I left the point, and I apologize, that I really wanted to say, and that is that as we come to the Lord Jesus, as he has offered such a free gift of salvation, and we reject it, he surely has every right to be our judge. Because he will come and he will judge. He's going to judge every believer for the works that they do after they're saved. He will judge every lost person by the works that they have performed from the day they were born until the day they die. There are two judgments. One is the judgment seat of Christ. The other is the great white throne judgment. Now, I have many verses of Scripture that we're going to look at concerning those two. A few weeks ago, we spoke about them just a little bit. Again, the judgment seat of Christ. We find that those... There are a judgment for the saved only, and there is a judgment for the lost only. And I have several verses of Scripture here that I'm going to show you so that you can see that there is a definite difference between the two of them. One is the judgment seat of Christ, the other is the great white throne judgment. First, before we get that far, come to that far, we need to look at not only the judgments, but first we need to look at the resurrection. Because as there are two judgments, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment, there are also two resurrections. There is a resurrection of the saved, the resurrection of those that have life, and the resurrection of those that are dead, or the resurrection of damnation. If you look down to verse 29, it says, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, many times through the Word of God, we have verses of Scripture that are together close enough that many people tie them together at the same time. They think it's something that happens all at once. Many people believe that you live, you die, and there's going to be the resurrection. And that resurrection will be that everyone that has died, when it's all over, it's all said and done, everybody that's died will come out of the grave, they'll stand before God, there's going to be a judgment there, and at that judgment, why then it'll determine, yes, you're saved, no, you're not, yes, you've done all right, no, you haven't, and then part of them will go to heaven, part of them will go to hell, and it'll be over. Of course, today it's come far enough down the line, and we have lost so much that it even has the appearance today that that judgment is nothing. We've talked about the Lord Jesus has the right to judge because he has come with such a free gift, a free opportunity to be saved, and you've rejected it if you've rejected the Lord Jesus. So he will judge you. Well, that judgment is not going to be a light judgment. That judgment is going to be a correct judgment, a just judgment. It's going to be, without question, looking at everything that you have or have not taken care of properly. Now, you don't get in your mind that, again, that that's true. I said many people believe there is only one time there'll be a resurrection, then God will judge us according to what we've done or haven't done, and then he'll kind of draw straws and we'll go one way or the other way and that's it. Today, most people believe that there is no hell, and so all there is heaven. Now, how many times have you been to a funeral and the person that died lived a horrible life? They maybe were mean to their family, to their children, to the community. They were what you would call a terrible person. Maybe they weren't even such a terrible person, but they had lived a life of sickness and things, and maybe they were on the other side. Maybe they were the ones that were beaten and abused, and they died. And we make this statement that they're better off. They're better off now. My friend, be careful with that statement, because they are not better off. I don't care how much pain they had. I don't care what they how much they suffered in this life. If they died without Jesus, if they died without Jesus, they are going to find themselves in the place of torment immediately and eventually at the last resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. They will find themselves cast into the lake of fire eternally. Don't tell me they're better off. Don't tell me the pain is gone. Because if they don't have Jesus, it's not gone. It's just beginning. Oh, my friend, what's happened to us? We have two resurrections. The resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. It's listed both in verse 29. We have a judge, and the judge is the Lord Jesus. He is going to judge the saved for the works they've done in their body before they died, from the time they were saved till they died. There will be a judgment upon those that did not know Jesus for their works. And then again, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. There are two judgments. There are two resurrections. The two resurrections are just like the two judgments. One for the saved, one for the lost. One judgment for the saved, one judgment for the lost. We will look through those scriptures, and we're going to go into Luke, 1 Thessalonians, Revelation. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, and a couple different areas in Revelation as we come together next time. Please don't miss it. We're going to look at the resurrections, and we're going to look at the judgments. Now, I'm going to read before we close, and we're just about out of time. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We're going to divide those. We're going to look not only at the resurrection, but then also at that judgment when he can say the resurrection of judgment of damnation. We're going to look at how the Lord Jesus, he is, without question, the judge. My friend, we have just touched the resurrections. We've just touched the judgments. We have talked about them before. You can miss and have no worries. You'll have a blessed hope if you'll come to Jesus today and trust in Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?